This morning, we continue on in our series, and we're rounding the corner. We'll almost be done. Next Sunday, we'll be done with the fruit of the Spirit. We've gone through all nine of them. We're at number eight this morning, and we're looking at this idea of what happens when the church exercises the fruit of the Spirit. This morning, we're looking at gentleness. On the bulletin, or in the back of your bulletin, you're going to see some sermon outlines that I want you to use this morning, especially in exercise number one, because we're going to use this as a teaching moment this morning. But let's just refresh our portion of Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance," or patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Well, this morning we look at this area of gentleness. And I've asked the question, list five people who are Christ followers that you would consider gentle in spirit. Okay, and can I just tell you, if you think Ron Walker is one of the top five, you're wrong. I'll tell you, this message is good for me because this is a message that I need to put in my life. Even though the Holy Spirit of God lives in me, and I have this spirit of gentleness, many a times in my personality, I don't let the spirit of gentleness come out like Christ would want me to have it come out. Sometimes I can be short-tempered. Sometimes I can be impatient. Sometimes I want to get things done now, and I don't let the gentleness of the Holy Spirit of God show himself up in my life as it should be. But I'm wanting you right now to write down, think of five people that are Christ followers in your community of your life that you would say, they just have a gentle spirit. When you talk to them, when you just interact with them, they just seem to have a spirit that is just really calm and cool and collective. They've just got a gentleness about them. Go ahead and write down at least, if you can come up with five, that's awesome. If not, write down one or two people that you think have gentleness of spirit. About 30 more seconds. Okay, as you look at your list, or even that one person you wrote down that just seems to have that gentleness about them, what are some characteristics, and don't say gentleness, but give me some characteristics that make you feel like this person just really has a corner on the Holy Spirit of God of gentleness speak to them? What are some characteristics you see in their life? Okay, good listener. Excellent, yes. There's a calmness. Not only in their spirit, but they bring a calmness to your spirit, don't they? Yeah. Okay, the way they pray, the way they call out to God, you see a gentleness about them, yes. Okay, yeah. You see the love coming out of them. Absolutely. Compassion, absolutely. Forgiving. Yep, some forgiveness goes a long way with gentleness. Taking time. Okay. Yep, they take time out of their busy schedule. And a gentle person tends not to even make you feel like that they're inconvenienced. They just seem to have that great sense of time open to you. Anyone else? Huggers. Affectionate. Yeah, yeah. They're not afraid to experience the emotion of connectivity with other people. Good, good. Patience, yes. Have you noticed that many a times when we're trying to describe gentleness, that we also bring in other gifts of the Spirit, of fruit of the Spirit? We tend to put that together. It's because the fruit of the Spirit is singular. And because it's singular, all these attributes that we've been preaching about, all these virtues we've been preaching about, actually have a connectivity to them that we do. We flow in kindness and gentleness and love and compassion all at the same time because it's not us, it is the Holy Spirit living in us. So we're going to look at gentleness. I love Jesus' caution to his disciples as they were getting ready to go out into public ministry. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he says, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent or gentle as doves." Jesus was using the figurative speech in a very wonderful way. He's kind of going to this simile of sheep and wolf and snake and doves. And I think it's interesting that as he's warning his disciples before they go out, before they start bringing this glorious good news of the kingdom of God to the world, that he instructs them to be careful. Wolves are intentional to go after the sheep. It's not accidentally that a wolf goes after a sheep. It's intentional. It's instinctive. They want to go and want to bring injury, death to a sheep. And so what Jesus is saying, in our world, in our chaotic world, even back centuries ago, there is a brokenness in our world, and they are like wolves wanting to go after sheep. Even to this day, you are going to find people that you rub shoulders with that have no use for churches, have no use for Christ followers. In fact, they're almost hostile towards the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, those are the wolves. They're intentionally going after the sheep. But Jesus says, so because we live in this broken world, because we live in this wolves and sheep mentality world, go out and be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent or gentle as a dove. So this morning, as we look at this idea of gentleness, what I want us to understand is that we are living in a broken world, a hostile world, a world that does not love Christ followers, nor do they want to hear our message. And we, as Christ followers, must exercise the fruit of gentleness throughout our lives. So what is gentleness? We kind of talked about some characteristics of what we saw in people's lives, but I think it's interesting when you look at the Greek word of meekness or gentleness, the word is paros, where they get the word patience. So there's a common link between gentleness and patience. Pastor Hannah, several weeks ago, preached on patience, and I'm going to tie that in to gentleness because they work within each other. So what is happening is this word paros, which has to do with a patience amidst the storm of life, is what produces gentleness. That word meekness or gentleness is a picture of a strong-willed person subdued by the power of the Holy Spirit to, rather than be knee-jerk reactionary, let the impact of what's going on around them take it in, settle down, calming effect before they respond. I think there's a misunderstanding of that word gentleness. I think sometimes when people hear the word gentleness, they mean people are meant to be stepped on or looked around or marginalized. No, no, no. Gentleness or meekness is a strength. It's an inner strength that only God, the Holy Spirit, can give you. Because I don't know about you, but when insult and hardship and persecution hits me, the last thing I want to do is be gentle. I want to come up and fight. I want to defend myself. I want to defend the body of Christ. I want to defend the Word of God. But here, what we see here is this wonderful picture of gentleness is when people get to the point of understanding that there's a calmness of the Holy Spirit of God living in us, that no matter what comes our way, our first response is not anger or vengeance or a spirit of defense, but rather an openness to listen, to process, and then speak. It's not about not speaking. It's about speaking once the Spirit of God has brought you into a gentle spirit, so that when you finally do speak the words, you speak it in a way that is better received. I don't know, anytime I've ever got into a clash with anyone, when they get upset and I get upset and we kind of go back and forth with anger or frustration, no one's listening. A lot of talking, no one's listening. But when someone comes with hardship or insult or persecution against you, and you let the Spirit of God bring a gentleness to you, speak into you so that you can speak out in a non-confrontational way, healing happens. Restoration happens. Communication happens. That's why it's so important to exercise the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's good for us, me included, to let the gentleness of God's Spirit come alive in our lives. The flesh loves to rage out of control. But when gentleness is being produced in us by the Holy Spirit, it will make us careful and in control. There's a man in the book of Acts that I kind of think kind of just kind of gives us the picture of what a man of gentleness looks like. And you're going to find this story in Acts chapter 7. So go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 7. You'll see it on the screen as well. But I want to talk about this first martyr of the faith. His name was Stephen. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was part of the early church. He was the first martyr. He's the first one that gave his life for the sake of Jesus Christ. And I see a gentleness about this man, but I see such a holy boldness because he exercised gentleness. In verse 54, it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, what were they hearing? They were hearing the message that Stephen was preaching. At the beginning of chapter 7, in verse 1, Stephen starts preaching. And he starts preaching the truth of the living word of God. He starts preaching with a holy boldness that only the Holy Spirit of God could give him. He starts preaching. The Sanhedrin, the leaders of the council, did not like what he had to say. Even though he was gentle in spirit, they didn't like what he had to say because it was pretty honest. It was pretty open. It was pretty truthful, and they did not like to hear what the truth had to say. They were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Verse 56, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him, dragged him out in the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is important to know. Laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold these sins against them. And then he said this, he fell asleep. This story is so cool because what I see is I see a man that was passionate about the kingdom of God, passionate about being a Christ follower, and yet in his passion, he let the gentleness of the Holy Spirit be seen in his life and yes, even his death. Here in verse 7, we read the story of the first martyr of faith. And really, it's Stephen that kind of sets the platform by how we can live our lives in a gentle way so that when people see us, they really see this calmness that God brings us through his Spirit, this love and compassion, this tenderness that comes out of us because Christ lives within us. And I see three things that I want to say this morning. Stephen's gentleness was seen in three different areas of his life. First of all, in his speech, gentleness was heard. In his speech, gentleness was heard. The message of Stephen's passage of Acts chapter 7, verse 1, had to do with Stephen's sermon points us to the sovereignty, the abundant grace that God has for both sinner and non-sinner. He was talking about this idea that those that are even in religious circles still tend to have sin in their life, but God has greater grace for those. That grace trumps sin. That God's forgiveness is greater than the greatest sin we could ever commit against him. And then he also warns us about the dangering of hardening our hearts, making sure that our hearts are soft and pliable, open to the Spirit of God within us. So what we see in this message is that Stephen is speaking with boldness. He's speaking with courage. And he's talking about God's grace. Things we don't deserve, but yet was given to us because God loved us so much. although full of the Holy Spirit, he spoke the message that was not harsh, but it came on ears that heard the truth and didn't like it. I think it's interesting that in the scenario of Acts chapter 7, they talk about the Sanhedrin who gnashed their teeth at Stephen. Well, another gnashing of teeth I hear in Revelation about what's going to happen in hell. And yet here, we're hearing that here on this side of heaven are people so furious at Stephen's message that they're gnashing their teeth at him. They're growling at him. What kind of animal are these people? Are these Sanhedrins? Are these religious rulers that they would gnash their teeth at someone? Oh, I pray that would never happen to us. That we'd never get to the point that in our church circle we'd be so frustrated and so angry that we would gnash our teeth at a brother or sister in Christ. But what I see here is in his speech, gentleness came out. Although they didn't like the message was true. God has grace. God has mercy for all of us. Religious and non-religious alike, God loves you. And that was the message that he gave. In your life, in your encounters, in the messages that you speak, not in a preaching sort of way, but in a lifestyle way, is your message heard in a gentleness, in a small voice? Are you letting the Holy Spirit of God cultivate your speech in such a way that people see a gentleness, see the living hope of God's grace lived out within your life? The second thing I see in Stephen's life is in the fire. Gentleness was seen. And I'll tell you, he was in the fire. He was being stoned to death. That's a pretty deep pit of a fire pit. In his fire, gentleness was seen. In verse 39 is a simple statement, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Nice words to say on a plain, ordinary day in the walk of your faith. But when stones and even small like boulders are being chucked at you to inflict injury, to kill you, to say those words takes a whole lot of more restraint and gentleness upon a person's life. But when the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, no matter what you face, even in the fire, you can still bring about the spirit of gentleness within you. To all the onlookers of that day, they must have been surprised at how Stephen handled his death sentence. Although the Sanhedrin were gnashing their teeth at Stephen, Stephen, in gentle spirit, just took the punishment. Although he did not deserve death by stoning, he endured it, and he did it in such a way that people, the onlookers, couldn't help but see there's something different about him. How about us? In our fires of life, do people see the gentle spirit of God living in us? When we are being squeezed to the utmost degree and we think that we can't even take another breath because life is so hard, do people see the gentleness of God's spirit living within us? I can only imagine back in the time that stoning was a pretty loud punishment because stoning had to do with anger, and anger had to do with loud voices and high and pumping going through the bones of people's lives and the blood in people's lives. And I can only imagine as people were picking up boulders and getting ready to chuck them at Stephen, I'm sure there was a lot of energy happening. But down in the pit where Stephen knelt getting ready to die, there was a calmness about him to the point that he could even say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Although I don't know what's going on about me right now, Lord Jesus, just receive my spirit. Help me not to lose it. Help me not to feel entitled to raise up and say something bad. Help me to be still and know that you are God. That's the beauty of what I see in Stephen's life, which then moves us really to our last point, that in his death, gentleness spoke. In his message, in the way he conducted himself, and then even in his death, gentleness spoke. These chapters in the book of Acts really show us that what happens when the body of Christ exercises the virtue of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The gentleness of Stephen's life and even death spoke to the onlookers that would look at his life and even his death and wonder, is it all worth it? In verse 1 of chapter 8, after Stephen has been put to death, it says, "And Saul approved of their killing him." Okay, I think it's important to understand that the coats were at this young man by the name of Saul, and then after the death of Stephen, Saul approved of Stephen's death, and he approved of many other Christians' death, but there was something that happened in a transformational way in Saul's life. It wasn't just the road to Damascus where Saul saw the Lord and repented. There were backstories that brought him up to the road to Damascus, and this would be one such story. To see a man of faith, to see a man of boldness, to see a man of courage just simply lay down his life, and before he lays down his life, the last words you would hear is, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Before he died, everyone that was struck and stoned at Stephen heard the last phrase, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like someone that hung on a cross that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing"? Stephen was just mirroring the very relationship he had with Jesus Christ. He just wanted to make sure at the end of his life, before he left to go to be with Jesus, that they heard the words, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul heard it and approved his death." But I'll tell you, as he approved that death of Stephen, that message went into somewhere in his heart. A man that was credited to two-thirds of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, saw a man of gentleness live his life, speak his life, and in his death, be gentle in spirit. I'll tell you, as I have been studying the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I've looked at the characteristics of each one of them individually and then collectively, oh, can I tell you for myself, I am craving more patience and gentleness. That God would raise within me more patience and more gentleness so that I could be a better witness, a more living, active witness to my world as well as to our congregation when faced with conflict. I will tell you, as we continue to grow as a church, the enemy is not going to be happy. He's going to come after us leaps and bounds. There are going to be times in our lives that we're going to say, "Lord, whew, this church is growing. It's exciting. We're seeing new lives come to Jesus Christ. They're crossing lines of faith. We're adding to the kingdom of God in numerical ways that is only supernatural. Only God could do such a thing." And yet at the same time, brace yourself for warfare. Brace yourself, for the enemy is not going to like what is happening here, and he's going to come after us. And I'll tell you, my prayer is, oh God, give me more patience and give me a heart of gentleness. Because when we face times and struggles and persecutions and tensions, oh, may it be said of all of us that we let the Spirit of God lead us, direct us, speak through us, so that we can be the church that would honor and glorify and let the Spirit of God flow within our lives individually and collectively. Will you stand with me this morning? And I want to pray over us as a congregation that the Spirit of God's Holy Spirit would come upon us in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships both at work and in our community. That God gives us the body of Christ to be the gentle calmness in the storms of our lives. So God, this morning, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for men like Stephen that mirrored the Holy Spirit's gentleness in his life and even in his death. God, I pray today that we would crave more of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives so that when life happens, and it does, we let your Spirit arise within us. We wouldn't want to protect ourselves, but rather we'd want to make sure that the Spirit of God is lived out in our lives. So God, give us more patience. Give us more gentleness as we face uncertain days in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in our community, and yes, even in our world, God. Would you give your church, would you give us more gentleness so that when people see us in a calm state of mind in the life of chaos, they would see you, Holy Spirit, living in us. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome not only in this place, but you are welcomed in our lives. Continue to cultivate your Spirit within the spirit of Christ followers today, that when people see us, they see Jesus living in us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.